You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 685 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by the dynamic duo of Ben Funky Askren, James Dean Rader. We are here, and we've got a world final happening right now. Emily Shilson up 2-0. Let's go. If you decided to sleep last night, strangely, you may not know that Kennedy Blades is in the world finals. She was the only U.S. American on the day to make the finals. But we have three going this final session: Emily Shilson, Amita Lohr, and Kylie Welker. Yep. And she's got a trap arm.
We did have
baby. Trap,
oh, nice. Oh, this might be over.
Shilson, pinnacle parterre offense. Yep. That's eight. Two more will do it.
I thought that should be 10-0. They might not have counted one of them.
Maybe not.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, world champ, junior world champion Emily Shilson. How about it? So that's a good way to start
the
show.
Did she not get scored on the whole tournament?
She won her. Yes, she did. She was down 4-0 in that one match, and then she came back. But other than that, that was the only match I saw where she was really challenged. Look at
nice.
Her.
Also, Emily, failed to mention.
She's not home.
You failed to mention today. We had two others in the semis. They both lost in the semis, which means they'll be wrestling for bronze tomorrow. We had Karina Blades and I hope I say her name right, Jaslyn Gallegos.
Yes.
So they're both in bronze tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. So that's great.
So Karina actually, she had a crazy match to make it to the semi. She was down 10-1 and then had a dresser dump to make up the fall, which we have a clip of if we want to run it.
Yeah, well, this Kohl's commercial rules. I don't know, it's back to school time. All right, fine, we'll show the dresser dump. There, she's down 10-1.
Nice.
That was pretty sick.
So Mike Karina's cool... super young, isn't she?
Karina, she's still cadet eligible. Or junior, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, because I know she's still cadet eligible. I don't know her exact age in years, but hey. She is still very young.
Nice.
So good start on the session with Team USA. Let's continue though.
Go for it.
We got more entries into World Team Trials. This is, and I just kind of had. These brackets are so ridiculous. They're so insane. It's like we're getting two. Think about this. We're sort of getting two Olympic trials level tournaments in 1 year because we're having hold on. Think about it. Save four Olympians and Spencer and a handful of others. Everyone is in. Everyone's doing it. Everyone is competing here for these spots. Almost the concentration of talent is insane. So there's only a handful of guys that are not competing.
Well, I would argue that it's like the Olympic trials, but the Olympic trials and this tournament are both double of the world trials. Because the world trials, you have everyone spread over 10 weight classes. Obviously, the Olympic trials shrinks to 6. This, of course, is also 6 because you have 4 weight classes who are out. It's just we're seeing different pairings because usually you don't wrestle 70, 79, 92. And now this time you're not wrestling 74, 86, and 97. So we're seeing things shake up kind of a little differently than it usually does. But there's 6 being competed, 6 Olympic trials. And in a regular world trials, there's 10 weight classes.
Yeah, I know. But if you look at how much talent is concentrating to these 6 weights, it's better than a lot of world team trials years in terms of the depth of some of these brackets, right?
Sure. Yeah. But the Olympic trials is 6 weight classes there, 6 weight classes here. So you're essentially getting the same amount of people, unless you're saying people did chose not to wrestle at the Olympic trials.
No. Yeah, exactly right.
Telegraphed.
Obviously, some people. Yeah, a few people.
Who is back?
But not very many.
And might get the number one seed because he was the last 61 kg world team member.
Yeah, it's interesting there with seeding.
He was the last 61 kg world team member.
Yeah, but well, how much, you know, you got Vito and Dayton in there who were, you got an Olympic trials finalist from this year.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
There's a chance that he's the one. I mean, to me, if we see how they seed 70, we'll see how they seed 61 because it's a similar thing with James Green. It's like, okay, this has been the man at 70 since 2015, basically. But how do they, you know, he was at trials at 65, and he didn't outplace, you know, Zane or J.O. or all these other guys. But at the weight, he's been the guy.
There's also the wrinkle of Alec Pantaleo beat him last.
That is a wrinkle. That is a wrinkle. We will need an ironing board to figure out all this stuff. So I'm not sure how they're going to see that. I think Graf might be the one. I think Kozak should do one. We have this fancy new big screen thing that you can do videos on. We need him to do his like seating projections for some of these weights because I think it's going to be fascinating. And looking at 79, man, it's we're going to learn a lot about what to expect from Jordan Burroughs moving forward, right? Because we've seen him in a couple different settings. We've seen him take super matches up a weight where he's looked good, right? And we've seen him at tournaments down at weights, like we've seen him like when he lost to Chimiza, but at down a weight. How is he going to look at a really tough tournament up a weight? Is he going to be the dominator that blows most guys out of the water, and then he'll have maybe a close final or something? Or is he going to be in tight, tough matches from the quarters on? And is he just going to be relying on his grit and guts? Because you look at I don't know if we can send this.
Where's this list? I'm trying to find this list.
All right, I pinned it on my Twitter, but it's also on the site.
And you just search World Team Trials. It'll be the top article. World Team Trials.
Got it. And then my initial feeling is that there's very few of these guys who are going to give Jordan Burroughs a highly competitive match, as we haven't seen Jordan Burroughs in a ton of highly competitive matches. You know,
I mean, I think his final two will probably be very competitive. I don't think, like, Ringer is really below Zahid or David Taylor.
Well, yeah. He's well below David.
But, like, not far enough to where it's not going to be a close match. Jordan Burroughs lost to David Taylor. I'm saying the gap there isn't enough where Jordan Burroughs is going to blow Ringer out of the water.
I don't know. I think there's a huge difference between the drop-off between David Taylor and Alex Deringer, I think, is... I think if they wrestled, it's probably close to a technical fall.
Yeah, I mean, after what we saw last week, that's not... Yeah, that's pretty easy to believe. Man, how big are these brackets? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Damn, like 16 people?
Well, I don't know if this is even the entire list. These are like the kind of the notable names.
No, this is the entire list.
Okay, it's the entire
list. Unless it more got added this morning.
The Did they widen the criteria of ability to qualify, or is it just because that last tournament
was a little widened?
Yeah, because the Olympic trials was kind of like kind of really hard to qualify for, so you ended up with
it's like a normal world team trials qualification, whereas it's more similar to what it's compared to.
Yeah, the bottom guys at 79 are kind of,
but it's also like world team trials, you have the challenge tournament now, and then you go to Final X to wrestle best 2 out of 3. So.
Listen, apparently, and you know, I kind of laughed about Downey. He's actually really going 79 kilograms. This is like not a typographical error. He meant to type 79. I thought, I mean, I didn't really consider him because he hasn't wrestled below 184 pounds since 2011. So I figured he's probably going 92 if he goes at all. But he's this is an actual intentional thing that he's, I'll say, committing to. But he's there, so he has to be considered in the overall scheme of things. And you think about someone like, all right, think about Burrow's path here, and you look how deep this weight is. So he's going to be the top seed. Is he going to have a Downey, a Hayden Hidley, a Lujan in the quarters in a round of 16 type of match?
Do you see those guys being competitive with Jordan Burroughs?
I think Hayden Hidley's no picnic in terms of what he'll have to do to beat him. I think it's like, yes, he will win those matches, but I just don't see him. I don't see him 10-0ing his way to the finals here. I think it's gonna be a really, really tough test from, you know, potentially quarters on.
Maybe I'm not guaranteeing a 10-0 or anything, but I just think it'll be one of those, like, very control. We're not talking 4-3. It's not going to be, oh, my gosh, you got a takedown at the end to win the match, right? He went 4-4 with the Olympic champion at the next weight class above this. So I could see – maybe I'm not guaranteeing a 10-0, but I could see a 8-2, 8-1, 10-2, something that's not really all that close. I could also see a 10-0. Like, that wouldn't be all that shocking.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Ben.
People are going to have a hard time. I think people are going to have a really hard time scoring on him. I'm curious if he's going to be playing just death of a thousand cuts until he kind of blows it open with some leg attacks and turns, but like a lot of step outs, control. I think he's almost always the story to watch and the person to watch, but I don't know why this, maybe it's just me, but this, him dropping in a bracket this tough is really fascinating to me. And I think it's going to be a really different sort of challenge. We haven't seen him have to go through a domestic bracket like this really ever. And even in the 2017 Open, what was his path? Was it, I mean, I think he had Kevin LaValle in the semi, and he just tried to hurt him for like 6 minutes. But other than that, let me see if I can find that bracket.
Okay. I mean, so he's going to have probably, I don't know, who's the 4-5? I'm very confused. How they're going to see this, because obviously, like, Evan Wick finished really high at the trials, so maybe it's like him and Nolf are the 4-5. I don't think they're going to see Starocki that high. I love Evan Wick and I love Jason Nolf, but I have a hard time seeing them beating Jordan Burroughs.
Yeah, so let's look at this bracket. Our JD pulled up Jordan's path. He had someone called Jeremy Anderson, then Mike Moreno.
Was he a roofer?
Definitely a roofer. Definite possible roofer, tradesman. Dan Valamont, Kevin LaValle, then Dake. So obviously his finals opponent will be not as tough as Kyle Dake, but that path, Moreno, Valamont, LaValle, it's gonna be way tougher. It's gonna be tougher than that. There's no way that So I think that's it's gonna be and what we're here, pull that up again one more time.
I think was that one of the years like a lot of the really good guys went up to 79 or 70 because they knew Dake Burroughs or 74? Is that what happened that year?
What happened that year? No, where was everybody?
Well, I'm saying that's what I'm saying. Or was it one of those years where he didn't really have to wrestle in the Open? I mean, there's been a few years where the Open's been super down because they had a lot of other qualification criteria.
Yeah, let me look at this. Senior men's freestyle, 74. So who did Dake have in the? I mean, and the other thing about it, he beat Moreno 4-0 and Valamont 6-0. So it's not like he was even
Burrows
did. So Dake beat Dake beat Daringer in the semis 3-0. So I'm not sure who.
Yeah,
Chris Perry was in this bracket. Holy match. Cow! Yeah, I do too. So, I mean, this bracket is going to be deeper and tougher if all these guys make it. And yeah, how do you seed an Evan Wick who was third or Jason Nolf, Imar? It's going to be a real challenge, and I think you're going to get some wonky seeds because you know it's based on not as much of a common sense element that's allowable, right? Where
you're essentially mixing these two brackets like this, you know, and you're figuring how do you shuffle a deck? Because for some people, maybe if they're too small, who'd be good? Maybe Deeringer would be a good example of a guy who's kind of smaller for, right? He wrestled with college court at 65, kind of small for 86, so he's coming down. Maybe 79 is the right weight for him. Whereas like Downey or someone else larger, like 174 might be hard, and 186 might have been a more ideal weight class. And then, you know, on the opposite, on some ends, like for some of these guys, 74 is probably the perfect weight class, and they're kind of small for 79 kg. You know, so it's like you don't know how that's going to factor in. Also, because we always talk about how weight matters with James Green. James Green ain't the same guy at 65 as he is at 70. Mm-hmm. He's probably a world medalist at 70 again. And 65, it's not in the cards for him.
Other than Downey, I feel like everyone here is really well suited for 79. Like it's a good weight for them. I don't think there's anyone with a big pull, and I don't think there's anyone that's going to be tremendously undersized. I mean,
Hayden, how do you think Hayden will do? What about Hayden?
I think Hayden will be fine. I obviously won't pick him to win, but I love this guy can hand fight with these guys. He's really big and strong. I don't think he's going to be small for this weight at all.
Just from a size perspective, he's wrestled only 57 at college. Mm-hmm. Nolf obviously only wrestled 57 in college. Joey LaValle was only 57 in college. So those guys, you know, would probably be your smaller guys. Whereas all of these other guys wrestled either 65 or 74, or maybe in a couple other cases larger than that. So I think those are the smallest ones, and I think your biggest 86 is one up to 92, right? So you have Nate Jackson, who wasn't always big but is large now. Miles Martin went up, Trent Hydley went up, Drew Foster went up. So you're having your biggest guys go up. You know, the guys that knew they wouldn't be able to go down.
Yes, a lot of questions. If Downey's got, I'm looking in the Facebook chat. I've heard you. I have listened.
Plus 10,000. I would actually take that bet, Christian. I would take that bet. I don't know who that is. I think it's also unlikely that he's going to make weight. Brian, if you are a trustworthy individual and you want to be the house on plus 10,000, I'll bet you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, because it doesn't say anything about what happens after he makes weight.
No, just if he makes weight. That's 100X. So if I'm betting $1,000, Brian's going to pay me 100,000. I'm taking that bet.
Something tells me, all right, Brian, I'm sorry, but you may have to pay Ben Askren $100,000.
Define making weight. You might. If he doesn't show up, is that a missed weight? Does he have to show up to weigh-ins?
Yep, he's got to show up on the scale and be on weight, yes.
Yeah. Making weight is making weight. So, 79, Burrows, I think it's as awesome as all these weights are. It's like you have the depth that these other weights have, plus this legend attempting to like reclimb to the top at a new weight for the first time ever.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Yeah, that is such a fun weight class when you look at it. It's just there's so many good guys, and you're right. Even the first round likely will have some pretty good, like, you know, the 8-9, the 7-10. Mm-hmm. Those would probably be some pretty good matches. And then absolutely 1 through 8, or if, you know, if a few of the lower ones get upset, they're going to be good matches. It's going to be awesome. I think you have the same thing at 92, 1 through 8. It's going to be really fun. You might have a few good matches past that. I think, as I look through, I think those are the two best. Obviously down low, you know, 61's a little deeper, but then 65 is still a possibility. So, you know, up top you had 79, 74 and 86 are essentially squished. You know, they could stay at 65. The 65s didn't have to move one way or the other.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So the big news out of yesterday was Zane registered at 70. Mm-hmm. Officially, we had said we thought that was the weight he was going. He officially threw his hat in the ring there. Now, that creates a real – this is a true seating conundrum. And I know a lot of people
– What do you do? Heart, gun to your head right now. Gun to your head.
Well, gun to my head, I think you got to have green number one. But if they said, no, J.O. was second at, or J.O. won this weight that many of these guys that are in consideration were in April, that he should be number one, I wouldn't be totally upset with that. Pantaleo is an interesting wrinkle because he has the recent head-to-head win over James, but James has historically won that matchup, and he's been the guy. He's got the hardware. I think they're just going to say, hey, James is the one until proven
otherwise. Any of these guys, other guys have a win over James? And I know it wouldn't have been at 70. It would have been at a different weight class.
Deacon beat James in
19
forever
ago. It wasn't
ago.
70, actually. I was shocked when that happened.
Yeah, very shocked. Well, he like had it. US Open. It was a crazy sort of like...
Final X was not close, though.
Weird left. Yeah, he really smoked him. Who has beaten... I mean, at 70... I mean, Zane has beaten James Green, but not at 70,
Yes.
Green has beaten J.O. at 70. So Deacon and Pantaleo are the only two with a win over James at 70 kilograms.
Got it. So you think Zane just is outgrowing now? And now if we look at his path forward... I'm assuming if he's still, you know, with these, most of the guys, I'm assuming if they're still wrestling, they're going to wrestle through 2024. Mm-hmm. Is Zane going to stay up at 70 and then try to go to 74 or, you know, cause 70 is likely not going to be Olympic weight again. What do you think Zane's path is?
I was kind of asking around about that to kind of gauge what people in the know were thinking. And they think he's going to go back down to 65, maybe even after this run here. But I
really
listen, if he makes the team and has success and even comes back with a medal, and I know we're you know, kind of a runaway train there of assumptions, but if he does that, I think you stay there.
Yeah.
Stay on the team, get some medals, and then figure out what you're gonna do, solve 2024 and 2024. Now the counter to that is, you know, 65 is such an open weight in America that if you can get on that 2023 team and medal, you just set yourself up so well for 24. So maybe you go 70 this year and next year, and then you can come back down and still try to solidify yourself for the Olympic spot. But it's, if you remember, after Zane made a world team in college, and then after his senior year, if you remember, he was still like a runaway Hodge Trophy winner, but he kind of wasn't killing. He wasn't quite killing people like he was at the end of NCAA season, and then he didn't wrestle, right? Yeah. He didn't try to make the team. He took that time off, and I think the cut was a big part of that decision. Like it's not easy for him to come down to 143, especially after holding 149, where I don't think he was particularly small. So all that in consideration, and I think it makes sense to not do it. So. All that, I'm part of me, I don't know, as I was just thinking about it, I was like, is he going to win this weight? Is he going to be the guy? Is he going to make it happen here at 70 and get on this team? I kind of like that he's coming up a weight.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think this is one of those where, though, I pick James Green until proven otherwise. I mean, he's kind of been the man at 70. And it does suck that he had to mess around with 65 so much. You know, I mean, he spent such a large part of, well, his first year was 2015 when he won a medal. Mm-hmm. And he spent such a large part of his career, 2+ years going, you know, moderating his weight, trying to get down to 65, trying to figure out how he's gonna make it happen. As opposed to if he could have just wrestled 70 and just stayed where he wanted to the whole time, I think he probably would have a few more medals on his resume.
Yeah. I don't disagree. How long do you think it takes you from holding 65 to bounce back to be a true 70. You think that's an issue at all
for him? Not long.
Because
he can't make. He struggles so bad to make 65. I think the answer is not long at all. Really, anything.
Matt Lewis asked if all mats be shown on Flow. Yes, Matt Lewis, they will. All nice. Mats, all sessions. Oh, and James Dean, look. Oh, now JD's in there. JD, I was like, hey man, you mind getting in, just kind of like interacting or getting in the chat, see what they're saying? He's like, I don't want them to have access to my personal Facebook. Like, all right. That's fine.
They got you. They're gonna roast you.
They got you now. They're gonna find all your all your old profile pics from back in the Carney days.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I've seen a couple of questions about Yanni. Yanni is in, he's going 65. I think with no Nick Lee, it sounds like no Nick Lee because Penn State's registered. No Kirk Flint, no Nick Lee. Starachi, the only.
Yeah, you were high on Kirk Flint. Now he's not even going to register.
Well, yeah, I was high-ish. I don't know.
I mean, you were thinking like, hey, he can maybe make this team.
Well, yeah, he could. He beat Mason and, you know, he absolutely could.
Where's he at?
Well, when you're in college, making the world team isn't the top priority. Like it or not, okay. I mean, we see many programs don't send world team contenders to trials. We've seen it for a while. So I think they're, you know, it makes sense for Carter, I guess, but for Nick and Kirkfleet, I mean, for Kirkfleet, they're probably like, let's just get and keep this guy healthy and get him through the season. You know, Penn State's going to try to win NCAAs this year, and they're looking at heavyweight, they're like, we could win heavyweight. We need to keep this guy healthy. Do you put him on a pitch count? I don't know, but he's someone who's had a harder time staying healthy, right? Even yeah. He had the ACL thing, which I believe he didn't get that repaired.
I thought he did not get it repaired either.
Yeah. So regardless, he's not been the healthiest guy, so keep him going, because when he's healthy and can fully train, he's going to be a real X factor at the NCAA level. And yeah, and I don't know why no Nick Lee, but Nick, man, it's like this would be a – because, you know, the Worlds are in October, right? So yeah, you're not going to miss anything. Season. You maybe miss some November duels if you're not fully – ready to go, but I don't know. I'm sure they have their reasons.
I was just as bummed, if not more bummed, about no Nick Lee. He took third at Olympic Trials at 65, only lost to J.O., who's not going to be at the weight.
Yeah, and he beat Yanni. He beat Zane. Mm-hmm. He looked good. The Nick Lee-Yanni rematch is one I really want to see, because it was just a shootout kind of match, but Nick was just a man on fire.
I mean, would Nick be the favorite at that weight class right now to make the world team? He beat Yanni. I didn't see that coming. But he did beat him.
Well, Joey can't be discounted that quickly. He made the finals. They both had the same loss to Jordan Oliver.
Yeah.
And I think Joey probably kept it a little closer.
He definitely has more of a resume, like a larger Joey. Senior freestyle resume. Joey does.
He definitely does.
Yeah. I think the one over Yanni's big.
Joey's a tough matchup for Nick because he's so positionally like Yanni will get in there and like really mix it up, a lot of exchanges, and Nick could come out on top of a lot of those. But Joey really does a great job of keeping the match where he wants to keep the match, by and large. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, to me, 65 looks like Yanni versus Joey, and you know. With no Nick Lee in the mix there. I mean, Ashnall at 65. Ironman, Lugo. Now I'm kind of talking myself into those guys, certainly going to have their say. They're going to have their say, but to me, Yanni and Joey is how that weight looks to me.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, this quote in the doc. I'm sure this is not what Keegan said, but when they translate to Russian and then
from Russian.
isn't it so great?
It's yes. It's
read
funny.
It. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Oh, well, you got to check the doc, Christian.
Yeah. Russ interviewed Keegan. They asked him about wrestling Sitikov.
Yeah. And he says, of course, he is an amazing wrestler and I dream of meeting him on the carpet. I love watching his fights. He is one of my favorites. Probably every fighter of our weight is dreaming of meeting him now, and I would like to have a series of confrontations at the highest level.
Like, I just imagine, like, Keegan saying that with, like, his arms right by his side like this, just standing straight up and down.
Is he talking about Sitikov?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's yeah. So funny.
Yeah, that would be...
Oh, man.
That'd be a wild match. Yeah, people... Oh, I saw a question while we're talking about Keegan. Someone said, hey, he was the best 157, changed my mind. And I'm not... last year at NCAAs. Yeah. And I'm not... I think people are a little quick to discount how amazing David Carr was. I mean, he was the kind of runaway third place Hodge guy, undefeated, highly dominant. I mean, that the season he has wins the Hodge a lot of times, and he just, you know, he's behind two just legends, Olympic champion now, and you know Spencer's going to be a four timer. So
look at David's season up real quick right here.
Yeah, he was. He was really good. I think
65% bonus. I would say most Hodge winners are above that by a decent chunk.
Maybe.
He was undefeated though. He had a great season, absolutely. And you know, I thought he would be challenged by Hayden, and obviously Deacon got upset prior to their meeting. So I, you know, and Deacon had to win over him the year before. So I thought that'd be interesting. So I was kind of, I want to say, shocked is not the right word, but I was thinking Deacon would win this. So I was really impressed by David Carr. I don't even want to comment. I don't like it when people all kind of comment on the thing after the fact and saying, oh, if he would have done this, it's like, well, he wasn't at 157. So he can't be the best 157. And he's never going down to 157 again. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless David Carr comes up, I don't think we're going to see that match.
That's going to happen. I mean, the idea of David holding 57 for his career, I think I don't see that.
You really
happening.
Think so? He's already been there 3 years now, Christian.
I know. I remember his freshman year, the Caleb Young match. Caleb Young was ranked number 2 at the time. It was the duel at Iowa State. And I remember the cut was not fun for him. I was like, you think he'll be at 57 for your career? He's like, no way. So... I don't know. Yeah. That was then. You know, things can change. And, you know, he was in the midst of a weight cut then when we talked about it. So, you know, you're probably thinking, no, I'm not doing this.
People aren't in the right mind when they're cutting weight.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at who's left 57 now, I mean, the only one that can really challenge him still is Ryan Deacon. And 65 is just so much deeper. Why, if you're David Carr and it, you know, you didn't have to, why would you go up to make your life that much harder? And it's also one of those things I know with myself, like the first time I made 163, I was like, holy crap, how am I ever going to do this again? And then once like my body got a little more used to it, like I made it easier. It was never all that fun, but I made it easier and easier the longer I kept at it. So maybe it's one of those things where he thought he was going to grow more and he stopped growing and, you know, he's gotten maybe a better diet. And it's like something Jaden Cox talked about is getting a better diet. And maybe, I don't know that it is. I'm just surmising because when you spend 3 seasons somewhere, because now, you know, he's been the redshirt year 19, 2020, and then 2021. I feel like once you've been that many seasons there, it's like that's a long time. And then to bump up after that is, I feel like it probably would have already happened.
Yes. So... You mentioned Keegan will never go down. How do you see him as long term career 74 kilo guy? Do you think there's a chance he could grow out of that?
I was gonna say never ever would he, and now I don't know. Especially with the day of weigh in, it's got me second guessing that. I don't think so though. I mean, he was trying really hard to get big this summer, and he wasn't that much overweight, so. I would say no, but not impossible.
One thing that happened
to David Taylor, right?
This is my thing, yes. So looking at Keegan, it's like, oh, look how small he is, and he's not big or jacked or anything. It's like, well, yeah, this is someone who is not fully physically matured. So, like, he's going to – I feel like there's more growth for him to achieve, and maybe he'll just grow into a perfectly sized 74, and that'll be the growth. Well, man, David Taylor was at 57. I mean, it's interesting the comparisons there.
Yeah, you just look at – I mean, I just look at his parents, and they're not, like, big people. You know, they're not wide. They're very – both of them are slender. So I think he's probably going to stay there is what I would guess.
David's dad is a pretty tall dude, so that makes a little more sense. Okay, so yeah, Keegan's gonna be a interesting guy to follow over the next couple years. Wonder if he would. You think he'll start throwing his hat in the ring at the senior level?
I would assume so. I mean, he's not junior eligible anymore. I think, he's going to. He's a guy who generally shows up and wrestles at a lot of places. So I would assume that he'll probably start entering some senior level tournaments pretty soon.
That's great.
I never understand it. I know this happened to some of our guys in the past when, you know, they have a lot of success at the junior level. And then they're, right, that's usually the first or second year of their college career. And then, like, they just don't compete at the senior level for 2 or 3 years or whatever. I just never understand that. I guess maybe it's because I enjoyed competing so much, but it was like, hey, the college season's over. There's tournaments. I can't wrestle juniors anymore. I guess I'm going to go wrestle seniors. You know, that's just what I'm going to do. And so when people don't, I never really understand fully. I mean, obviously I know there's injuries and things, but some guys, it seems like they just take the time off.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that is with the in my opinion, the guidance from the college coaches who have their own interests in mind, which are NCAA related. And that's, you know, that's their right. And, you know, they're kind of looking out for their best interest too. So I think that's why you see a lot of these guys. But I think anymore, they'll make their recommendations. But so many of these guys have the international aspirations. You're not going to be able to say, hey, don't enter these anymore. It's going to have to be more than anything the athlete's choice not to want to enter than the coaches shutting it down, which I think.
Yes.
So when you see – so when I look at – Nick Lee and Kirk Lee not wrestling, I think that's not just a coach's recommendation, but they're
well, it might be. Kale runs a tight ship up there. That'd be the one guy who I'd say, well, that guy runs a tight ship in state college.
But yeah, I mean, definitely not disputing that, but yeah, I don't know. Okay.
But like, well, Staraki entered.
Yeah, he entered. Why is it okay?
Yeah, I mean, but Kale's going to have different – I mean, right, you're not treating all athletes the same. You're going to have different recommendations for different athletes depending on whatever's going on in their life or their training or whatever. You know what? I guess Tom Brands runs a pretty tight ship too because
Spencer.
But 2 years ago they had, like, literally no one. Like, didn't Tony Cassiope – he made the junior world team and he declined the spot, right?
Was it U23?
Or was it U23?
You'll see a couple that years back. Sometimes. A lot of normally juniors because juniors is earlier, like now. The U23s is in November.
Do you remember the 1 year where Iowa had nobody wrestle in the offseason?
Yes. I can't remember year it was.
It was prior to the 2020 season. So it would have been the 2019 summer going into the 2020 season where they had the team that could definitely that would have won it had they actually held the NCAA championships.
Yes. I remember that. But then we saw, I think after that, we saw they had a pretty good showing. They sent a lot of guys to the U23s that summer. Because remember, DeSanto, that's where he wrestled Kolioko. I think Ironman was there. I think Big Tone wrestled.
Yes. So Joe Caprino says Big Tone won the junior open and didn't show up at the trials. That was what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, so, and Kevin Slater in the Facebook chat just asked also about Spencer Lee. Do we got any inside information on whether he's going to register? And if he doesn't, so now he's...
come on, dog. You think he can go out to 61 trials? No way.
No?
No.
Okay.
All right. Fine. JD got a better shot of entering that. Spencer is not going to that.
I mean, he didn't even enter Olympic trials.
Yeah.
Olympic trials, he was coming fresh off an injury. And now we are, 5 months after that? So, you know, he would, I don't know how long it takes an ACL to heal when you're not going to fix it. I'm not sure I don't know, but it's got to be feeling a little better by now, right?
He's not a 61 either. He's a.
Well, of course not, but 57 is not being competed.
Well, yeah, I know.
But you would pick him over most of these guys, wouldn't you, Christian?
Yeah, I'd pick him to win. But if he's healthy, if he's healthy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he ain't here, so I don't even know if we'll see him after this NCAAs. Will he try to make the 22 team? I don't know.
He's never tried to make a senior world team.
No. The only thing...
The Open.
He went to the Last Chance, or the... What was it? It was just... wasn't called a Last
US Open.
Chance.
It was the US
Senior
Open.
Nationals.
Yeah, Senior Nationals in Fort Worth.
Senior Nationals, sorry, yes.
And that's been the extent of it. And, you know, a lot injuries has played a large role in, you know, keeping him out. So,
yes.
Would you take... There was a Facebook question or a question for friends from Twitter predicting the 2024 Olympic team. If you had to pick right now, would you take Spencer to make 2024?
Man, I would love to see what the odds on that are, because there's obviously not a prohibitive favorite. Man, I mean, Spencer's really good, but the hard part about it is, I mean, we're talking about it. He doesn't show up all that often.
And he has to be healthy.
Yeah, he's 20, what is he, probably 22 now, maybe 20, 23, and he's not showed up to try to make one senior world team yet. And so, you know, obviously you would think post-collegiately he's going to, but then the chances are that, man, he's probably not. He hasn't showed up to try to make any of them yet. So who knows what's going to happen after college. You know, maybe he just says, hey, my body's beat up, I'm done, I'm going to go coach, or, I don't know. Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see how long some of these other guys stick around too. I'm assuming almost all of the guys at 57, I think they're going to be around through 2024. It's going to be a really, really deep weight class.
Yeah, so I think it's Spencer loves freestyle. I think it's his favorite style. I think
yes,
he plans on wrestling a really long. He's been pretty open about that he wants to wrestle, have a long senior level career. So I think we'll definitely see him. If we see him in 22, I hope we do. And I know he's going to try to make the 24 team. And I know that, you know, with that, the 23 team is definitely in focus. Like, that's the team to make so you can medal and then sit out for the trials in 24. So okay. I think he's a perfectly sized 57. He's just got to be healthy. And some of that's luck, and some of that is, I don't know what it is, you know.
Yeah,
but
are you saying then you think that he wrestles this college year, maybe he gets his ACLs or one ACL, or I don't know what he does, gets them fixed, takes some time off, takes some time to recover, and then comes back and starts training for 2023?
Yes, I think that's possible. It just depends. I mean, there's so much unknown, you can't predict, because we have no idea how he's going to function with no repair here. He could be fine. If he's wrestling great...
That's why it's an interesting question.
Yeah. If he's wrestling great, he's not just going to get his ACLs repaired. He's going to just... I think he's going to ride that out. I don't think there's going to be a... Because it's a year... It would be a year-long process for him to get that repair.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a re-repair. Because it's an ACL he's already torn.
Okay. So he wouldn't even have time for 2023 then.
Potentially.
He'd never have any ACLs, ever.
Yeah, so I think that's probably the direction they're going to go.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oof. So, you know, wrestling 3 years on no ACLs, that can't be great.
Have you ever torn your ACL, JD?
I have never torn my ACL. Okay. I think if I had to pick right now, I would take the field against Spencer Lee in 2024.
Well, I think that's fair. But if you had to,
yes,
you had to pick, if you sure. had to pick an individual that's going to make the team, I'd say the odds are probably with Spencer.
I think it's one of those where that none of them have great odds. Like if you said, you know, David Taylor making the 2024 team, he's probably going to be negative money somewhere. Whereas all of the guys at 57. Because there's a lot of options, right? Is it Soriano's a good option? Vito's a good option. Dayton's a good option. Gilman's a good option. Spencer's a good. You have all these good options, which makes obviously each of them less likely. And if we have them all at their perfect health, I think Gilman and Spencer are probably the top two picks. But you know, again, how often are you going to have Spencer at his top health? And Gilman's going to be getting a little older by that point. So,
best ability is availability.
Wow. Coach JD, one other thing.
I never heard that saying before.
You never heard that?
Like that?
No.
Yeah, they always talk. Well, it's like a, you know, talking head show, kind of ESPN talking about that. Basketball or football players, you know, best abilities, availability. Thinking about 57 long term, who can hold that weight long term? Can Dayton make it for perpetuity? Can he be a career 57 kilo guy? That's a worry for me. I know if he can do it, it's going to be day of for the rest of his career. That's not changing. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Is Soriano a true 57? Is he a better suited 61? That's a question I have.
I think the answer is yes, Christian, but I think the other part of that is that 57 is the Olympic weight and 61 isn't. And, you know, like we talked about, Gilman figured out a way to make 57 better, right? He talked about with listening to the interview, and that's kind of, these guys, they're problem solvers, and they get in there and they think, I'm going to freaking make this weight class. How do I do this best? You know, how do I, because I'm not making, none of those dudes are making the Olympic team at 65. They're just not big people. So if they're going to make an Olympic team, which is the ultimate goal of all of them, it's going to be 57.
Yes. I mean, that's obvious, but the question of how long term they can hold the weight effectively is another question, right? Like Jordan could, and then he couldn't hold 74 effectively.
No, Joan Burrows. Okay.
Yeah. Not Jordan Conaway.
what? Define effective.
What? Well,
like,
so James Green, medals. James Green making 65 is not effective. That would be probably,
yeah, that is safe to say.
Yeah, that's probably a far better example. With 57, that's my thing with Dayton. If he can hold it long term, he's going to be in there. It's going to be a short list of guys. Is Soriano? The thing that's interesting is with Dayton, you have all this senior level data. He enters everything. You've seen him compete all these different times. But Soriano has entered such a small number of things, and Spencer's entered such a small number of things.
Yeah,
prognosticating that out is not that.
I agree.
All right, question from Aaron Sweezy. Ben, if you could wrestle any NCAA champion from after your college, your career in college, who would you like to scrap with?
Oh, like, my goodness.
Dream match.
Are you talking about for fun wrestle or like in a match?
Yeah, I mean,
is it different?
Because like I don't know about you guys, and I actually think sometimes maybe I might be in the minority on this. Like, I like wrestling. I like the activity of wrestling.
Yes.
I'm really old, and sometimes it's not as fun anymore because it hurts. But like, hey, last week I got to roll around with Vincenzo Joseph. Now, we didn't brawl. Like, we didn't go as hard as we could, right? But we got in there. We mixed it up. It was a lot of fun. So when I think of like, okay, guys that I can wrestle with, like, what is the most fun one? Like, you know, is the guys that, like, say, David Taylor, like, you're going to get, and I have rolled around with him a little bit, but you're getting a ton of scrambles. He does some really, really unique things that you're not going to feel anywhere else. Like, that's what I would be looking for, because I want to see, like, I want to steal from them. I want to think, like, well, how are they doing this one thing, or how are they doing that thing? It's like, I wrestled Jason Nolf. I purposely put myself in a position where I knew he was going to hit the Winn-Dixie because I wanted to feel, how is he going to hit it, you know? So that's like, we're talking about fun. That's what I want. If we're talking about a match, that's probably different.
All right. I get the fun. Now give me the match.
So I get to be in my NCAA shape again?
Yeah. You're there. Boom. Snap it.
Ed Ruth.
I was going to say Ed.
Yeah, Ed Ruth, because that would be fun. Which I have rolled around with him, and that was a lot of fun also.
I was going to say, I think of the 174 champions, he is probably the toughest matchup on paper for you, if I had to guess.
Yeah,
for sure. I would love to see it. I'd like to see you against Zahid, too.
That would be fun also, yeah. I mean, he's I did work out with him one time in Las Vegas. But see, that's one where it's like, that one's not as fun for me. So, like, we're talking about rolling around. Those Penn State guys, they like to scramble. They got some tricky stuff. Like, Zahid is, for me, if I'm going to beat him in a match, it's going to be like, I got to be freaking disciplined, right? Because he's going to try to get space. He's going to shoot from space. I need to be really disciplined in my stance, making contact with them, keeping my hands on them, those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be as, like, fun. Like, we're not going to, you know, roll around and feel some unique feels and that type of thing. It's going to be really disciplined. You know, staying in a great stance, making contact, keeping hands on, that type of thing.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, for the record, I don't want to wrestle any of these people. I was trying to set those up. Okay.
Hey, so wait, one thing I was thinking about, 72 women's. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be I think the world team member is going to be either Kennedy or Kylie, who are both wrestling at juniors right now. So their turnaround to go back to the trials is really fast. By the time they get home from UFA, it's going to be less than 3 weeks. But I think one of them, and obviously Kennedy has won the match previously, I think they turn around and make a senior world team this year. What do you guys think?
Man, I think Kennedy's winning a senior world title this year. I think so. I think I don't care if it's junior level. I don't care. I've seen what she can do in the senior level one.
She wrestled Tamira in the finals.
And she did not, she had a respectable result there, right? She was not as good as Tamira. Tamira is the Olympic champion in runaway fashion. But Kennedy's right there. And we're talking about a pound for pound on the women's freestyle scene in Tamira. Now we're going to go to 72. She is going to be a superstar. Super, superstar. She's going to enter that class, I believe, for USA Wrestling. I think she's that good. I think she's got that kind of ability. And how much better she's going to get. She's just making these teams, and she's in it, and she's into it, and she's got it all. I mean, she has got it all. She has the complete package. I think her mindset is really super impressive too. And Kylie's going to be amazing as well. It's going to be, you know, as we watch the changing of the guard, it's going to happen at some point for women's freestyle, where this next generation is going to come up. It's going to be a fascinating story to see how the 72-76 materializes in the future. And can these girls ever catch up to Adeline, or is Adeline going to hold on to the spot until she retires and then they're going to get it? It's tough to say. And it's tough to see how big is Kennedy going to get from this point. She's junior eligible.
How old is she? Because I'm looking at her track profile right now, and it appears she was in middle school in 2018. So that would mean, she's definitely in middle school in 2018. So that means she's a junior in high school, going to be a senior in high school. Is that what she is?
Let's look here.
Yes. I believe so.
Jeez Louise.
I mean, Kylie Walker just made the Olympic Trials Finals up at 76.
She's going to be a senior in high school this year, Kennedy.
Yes.
Kennedy. Wow.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So we I just said she's going to be a world champion. That's my prediction. It's really my prediction. She might not even make the team. I don't know. But I just.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see how long Adeline and Tamira stick around for, because these girls they're very young and they're going to come up. And it's like, can Adeline and Tamira go for a whole nother cycle, or is it going to be, you know, the young girls get better faster?
Mm-hmm. Tamira's 28, so I wonder, you know, she certainly has another quad in her through 24. Yes. If she wants it, and you have to figure she would.
Adeline's 30, gonna be 31 in January.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I am very excited about Kennedy. I think she's gonna win a world title tomorrow.
We have her. The Kennedy bomb, the Blades bomb clip.
Blades bomb.
If we want to watch it. She got a 5 this morning.
Yeah.
Look, this isn't the first 5 seconds of the match. Boom. Like, we just saw the first whistle being blown. Body lock. Oh back arch 5.
That is just ridiculous. And she's so aggressive. Her leg attacks are reliable. She's competent enough. Parterre. I mean, and she's got this in her. She's going to be an intimidating force. At some point too, because you don't see a lot of people that really just take it to you from the word go, right?
Yeah.
In wrestling. And yeah. So I'm very high on Kennedy. I think it's not exactly some quake take, but she's amazing.
Agreed.
Okay. So that's exciting. And you know, we've got a lot of talent in the upper weights with Amidi Lohr, she's in the finals. She should be up here at some point here soon.
Pretty quick, yeah. I mean, Kylie, I think they're Welker. Getting close.
Okay. Where to next? I mean, we haven't even talked about Rocky Elam freaking junior world champ, Tiger Stock.
We should have stayed on radio for that, because that happened. It might have been 10 minutes after the show. You guys were too excited to get tacos yesterday. Man, it was great because it was 2-2. He had two 1-pointers and a push out in the shot clock. The other dude got a takedown, and he gritted out this freaking leg attack score.
He
was – yeah, watch this. I mean, he just battles for this. He pulls it in. He sucks it in. I mean, it's a good –
I thought he was going to cut him back.
Right? Yeah, there's –
coming up.
Right,
and then when the Iranian defended that and got his hips back, I was like, okay, there's
right
no
here,
way
I felt good. I was like, he's got it. And then he lost it.
Boom. And then he gets back down here. And now he's got to post – this is more than 15 seconds. Now he's got he's going to post and lift. And gets his hips out. Boom, gets his head out. That was like a, this is gonna be like a 30-second finish. I mean, he really like gritted that one out. And you guys know how tough it is being under there when someone's on top of you and battling.
Brutal.
And then, brutal. And then, hey, this is great. Go back. This is what we were talking about, folk style. Go back to that clip. Put that back on the screen. This is what we're talking about, folk style wise. Oh, sorry, man. Can we go all the way to 15 seconds? This dude just lays here and says, "I guess I'm gonna lose. No problem."
Yeah,
I mean, what's he doing down here?
Nothing. Lucky they didn't give him the Gable treatment, or Elam's lucky. let him get a chance.
Working for a turn. He's smart. He's not just sitting there.
I know.
He went down on the legs. Yeah, I was. This is great. I got jacked up for this.
Yeah, I don't think the clip goes much longer because there's not much.
But what he's doing now is what he does until the match ends.
Yes.
Yes. Just lays there.
Yep. Just lay there. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a. It's a different mindset in the international things late in matches. It's just not. I don't want to paint broad strokes. It's not like that for every wrestler, every nation, every this, every that. But I think if the roles were reversed, Rocky Elam's trying something. He's reaching back. He's turning in. We're not just gonna cede 15 seconds.
Hey, so this, we talked about the possibility of this happening. It happened. We now have two junior world champions and an NCAA champion who both have 4 years of eligibility left at 197. I'm just calling it, it's the best weight class for the next 4 years, Christian.
Well, we'll see. I mean, those guys would have to remain at the weight class for that to be true. And AJ Ferrari has been wanting to go heavyweight since high school. He's been talking about it, and they've got him at 97. I think he looks like a perfectly sized 97. I don't think he looks overly big.
Because I don't think he's also got the, you know, he likes taking his shirt off. So, man, he adds about 20 pounds to that belly. He ain't going to want to take his shirt off so many times. So I just don't see him going up.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even factor that in. But he's got an image to maintain.
Unless he adds it all to the biceps.
Yeah, it all depends on the distribution. Yeah, if it goes straight to the pecs and the lats, then maybe it gets even exaggerated further. But I think Braxton is more likely to move up than him.
Yeah, I think so.
But Braxton's not, like, tall.
He's not tall.
He's not tall.
I mean, did you guys see the picture of Rocky and Keegan and Braxton? And I was kind of, like, caught off guard how much taller – and maybe it was just a picture, but Rocky looks so much taller than Braxton.
Rocky's tall. Yes, Rocky's got a lot of length to him. And I did not see the picture, but yes, he is taller. I'd love to have seen. I mean, I wonder if those guys were rolling together a bunch. Those were probably some insane goes between Braxton and Rocky. I mean, two world champs in back-to-back weights.
Yeah.
Pretty freaking impressive. But yeah, I mean, and hats off to Coach Smith and the Tigers, man. What a performance. I mean, they were the story at Junior World Trials. Man, they got three on the team and looked great. And then they followed it up with – Hawks did good. I mean, I thought he had a good performance. And then to have two Junior World Champs, that's insane. And how many – when's the last time – and it could have been last year or 2 years ago for all I know, but I'm just asking. When's the last time we had a college – with two junior world champs on their team? Like, not like, you know, I don't know if it's happened.
Because usually some of the times that we get junior world champions, they're not even in a college yet. You know, Spencer Lee won as a high schooler, Mark Hall won as a high schooler, Gable won as a high schooler. So a lot of times we have these guys winning as high school kids. I would say, I don't have the list in front of me, but I'd say it's pretty darn rare.
I think it's a small list. I think it's a really small list.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Amazing job there. So very cool. And
Whoa. James Dean, what's this you're putting in the Facebook chat here?
Yeah, I got a confirmation yesterday.
What?
Yes, Japan is going to Oslo, but no Olympians.
What?
Yes.
For all weights?
All weights. Or all 10. All 10.
And all genders?
They will send a rep at all 10 weights.
Men and women?
I'm not 100% on the women, but in the men, yes. I think in the women as well.
Well, I only really care about the women.
Well, that would mean we would probably, I mean, if they're going to take all their Olympic champions out, we're probably going to win, aren't we?
Women, yes.
It will certainly help.
Did they give an explanation on this topic?
No, not that I saw.
Jeez, that's...
Where did you see this?
Their federation site.
Okay. As far as sources go, that's a good one.
Yes.
That is a good one.
Of note, their 57 kilo guy will be decent. Abe, he's the guy that beat Vito in the world finals, junior world finals.
They definitely have depth. Like, will Higuchi throw his hat in the ring?
No, not Higuchi.
Why not?
I don't know.
How do you know all these things, Video? You speak Japanese or something?
This dude, all right, listen. All right, if we haven't figured it out yet, he is a foreign agent. Okay.
How do I find this Japanese Federation site?
I'll send you the link.
Okay. Well, any questions about Russians or Japanese wrestling? Go to JD because he's infiltrated. He's actually works for them, and he keeps us up to speed with what's going on. But yeah, man, our ladies, wow. We can win worlds, especially if they're not sending the big guns. And honestly, I think we'll make it a lot more interesting with the upper weight firepower we would be adding anyways to kind of balance out their lightweight supremacy. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was going to be interesting as is. And I'm not – the one thing you got to know about Japan is they have the depth too. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Their ones are great, but that's not all they have. They have more. So
Usaki, who is like the biggest favorite in almost any style this year, didn't wrestle 2019 Worlds because she lost the wrestle-off.
Dang.
Yeah, so that's a little context for you. So don't think that. Okay. Oh, we got our man Richie Perez in the Facebook chat. He's also in this room right now. He says, "What can we expect in a Rutherford Pantaleo rematch?" So if you remember, they wrestled at Penn State, and well, they wrestled in folk style, and Zane pinned him every time. But then they wrestled in freestyle, and it was really really close. And I said it wouldn't be close, and Ben said, I think it's going to be competitive, and Ben was right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he knows the sport or something. Highly annoying. But, and now at 70, I think it's competitive again. I think you can't say it's not competitive. This is definitely Pantaleo's best weight. I'm going to say
it's style, too. By a long ways.
Best weight, best style. And I'll say, but I'm also going to say, I think if Zane had his choice, it's like, Zane, you pick which one's the Olympic weight, and it will be moving forward. I think he'd probably say 70. I think that'd probably be the weight that makes the most sense for Zane.
Like that, huh?
So this is probably his best weight as well.
I was actually just thinking about this, Christian. Michigan, the University of Michigan, they're much better at freestyle than folk style. So you think of like a Logan Massa has had way more success in freestyle than folk style. I mean, Miles Amin got an Olympic medal and not an NCAA title. Stevan Michik's never won an NCAA title, and he was the number one seed at the Olympics. So they're having a lot of success in freestyle. They're doing a really good job there. And, you're not seeing dominant multiple-time NCAA champions out of their guys yet.
Yes.
We might see that out of Mason Paris, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. He could be an NCAA champion this year, and
yes.
He could win a world title. Alec Pantaleo thinks he's winning a world title. And he is not biased. I know people will think like, oh yeah, it's his teammate, blah, blah, blah. But it actually kind of, I put a lot of stock when someone puts it out there like that about their teammate, you know? I think, and on the one hand, who's going to be more biased? On the other hand, who has more information? Who is seeing the day in, day out things that this guy's doing, right? So,
yeah.
You can dismiss it all you want, but to me, it has weight. It has real weight. And, I thought it was cool. Question from Brian Seymour.
Before we get to that.
Okay.
Japan is sending a decent rep at 72, which will be Kennedy's weight. Looks like it'll be Musaka.
Whoa! Ricci. We're already calling Kennedy to the rep at 72.
It's been declared, Ben. There's no turning back. I wish there was something. I wish there was something we could do, but we just can't.
Okay. She was their rep in 2019. She took bronze. She lost to the eventual champion from Russia, who won gold in 2012 at the Olympics and silver at the 2016 Olympics.
Vorobieva.
Yes. Okay. She lost 6-4 to her, and
in 12?
No, in 19. Oh, in 2019.
Okay.
Worlds. She also won U23s in 2019.
All right. So, Brian Seymour, will the women have an asterisk like the Russian boycotted Olympics? I don't think so. One, Japan's going. They're going to be there. Russia was not there. There were no Russians. I think it's different. And one thing I've been thinking about is how...
There were no Soviets that year.
No Soviets. Much to the chagrin of J.D. Rader, who was not born. Thankfully, J.D. was not alive during that time. I don't know if he'd be the same if he had to endure an Olympics with no Soviets.
Well no, I'm just saying, you go through however many Soviets in a world team, a world bracket.
Yeah.
That year they didn't even, have any.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be like that. No asterisk here. And one thing I love and I'm so excited about is like how seriously and how there's just where Team USA has the full weight of importance behind these trials. And they really want to send a world team. And no one is looking at this world with some side eye because the Olympics were a month ago. That's awesome. And
yes,
it's exciting, and I hope the rest of the world takes that same cue because it's a huge, huge deal. It's a big tournament. We were deprived of a 2020, anything in 2020, and
we had the fake World Cup.
That was too fake for me. That was just too fake. We didn't even go. It was just too fake. Bridge too far.
Hey,
they didn't even call it the World Championships. They called it a World Cup.
Amit Ehlers is going to be up because this Belarusian woman just got leg-laced a whole bunch of times.
A whole bunch of times.
Yeah, she's getting some medical attention first. Yes.
Get the spray out. For the love. Have you ever got, Ben, you're an athlete.
I
you ever get the cold spray?
When anyone cold spray me. That's ridiculous.
Even in training.
Do you think our audience knows what the cold spray even is?
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, listen, if you don't know what cold spray is, Ben, I want you to discuss it right now. You know,
well, the first time I saw it, I will tell you, I was in Belarus, 2007, maybe it was Ukraine. I was somewhere over there. And this person with the strange doctor coat runs on the mat. The athlete is clearly faking an injury. Like it's so obvious that they just want a little break here. And they pull out what looks like a can of WD-40 or something. And apparently it's really cold. And they spray it on him as if that is going to make something better in the moment, which the guy didn't need anything to be better because he was faking it anyways. But then, that was my first experience because obviously at that point in time, you couldn't really watch international wrestling on the internet. But you see it kind of frequently. I think it's ridiculous. I don't really know what it's supposed to do. Obviously, it's something they don't use in America. That's all I got to say about it. What do you want to add?
Well, it's kind of like the universe. I mean, American wrestling fans just laugh at it. We think it's like kind of a, if you're playing like international wrestling bingo, there'd be like the carcass cam, the cold spray. Cold spray is an all timer. You know, a guy's gassing hard when they're sitting there and they just start spraying the knee with this stuff. It's like out of an aerosol can. And then they get up and they act like it actually did something. I don't know.
They get up fine because of the cold spray.
They get up because it repaired their tendons. They're very it put back together the wounded musculature, and now they're fine. They're able to wrestle. It's an incredible, incredible thing. Imagine if cold spray actually worked. What an incredible thing it actually would be.
Then you could just keep it in a bottle. It would be so tremendous.
Absolutely. So. Anyways, it's basically something that the foreigners use when they're tired, and they just spray it on something just to kill time.
Yep. Which that's another thing freestyle wrestling needs to fix is that there's no penalty and unlimited injury time. Like
there's got to be.
It's absurd.
Well, okay, JD, I got a tough question for you right now. Would you rather be able to institute a penalty for fake injury times or Get rid of Grounded.
Get rid of Grounded.
And for as annoying as the tired intentional shenanigans are, honestly, it doesn't happen all that much. The Grounded thing
really
happens.
I feel like you're right, Christian. Grounded's way more. I feel like just at the Olympics 2 weeks ago, there was a handful of fake injury times.
Do you have any like pop to the top of your
head? At the very least, where the thing where you get Evan Gilman, where he just like sits on the edge of the mat for 15 seconds, and you're like, what's he doing over here? Like, it's wrestling time. Like,
I have seen caution in one for that if it's egregious.
Yeah, yeah. Get back to the center or call injury time, one of the two, but something has to happen here. So, like, to me, that's injury time. If you're just refusing to go back to the center, that's injury time.
Yes, I agree. I agree. But then if you just – but the quick hack to that is just to say I'm injured, and then you get the unlimited time unlocked.
It should be like your second injury time is a point. Like, you can take a second injury time, but you're going to have to give up a point or something like that, because you can't get choice, obviously, like you can in
choice is Oak style.
I want to – Ben, you should be – AWA should start using cold spray. You should start bringing it. Try to introduce it to American wrestling culture.
Well, we try to get our guys in good shape, so they're the one actually pushing the pace. So, I mean, if we had this – if we had the style where we were –
No. Okay, I got an idea. As a prop – okay, in period breaks, when the opponents look tired, you walk over and you hand the coaches a can of cold spray for their guy. Be like, hey, you might need this. Just as a little head game.
Hey, you want to pull this match in? It's starting right now.
Yeah, Amina Laura's up. Are we in blue? It's very small.
Yes, she is in blue.
There we go.
Looks like we're in blue, yes.
Mm-hmm. She got the elbow. We're wrestling Russia. Trying to clear. So if you don't know, this is the 68 kilogram junior world final. Amita Laura, who is a cadet world champion, trying to become a junior world champion, gets to go behind. She's up two, just got it. Now she could go to work on top. She won a.
Yes.
I was reading as she was coming on the team. Oh, she's looking for a lace here.
Oh,
she's got it.
Over, bro. This is going to be over.
It's 4-0.
Two. Come on. Get come on. Dig together. In. Let's go. Drive this thing.
Yes. There's another.
6-0.
No, that's one
not
more.
Yet. Not yet. There it is. No, she's going to go out of bounds.
I don't know. She might. She only needs one more, I think.
Know if she's getting another one here. I don't think
8-0.
She's getting this.
Oh, she's going the other way?
Don't go that way. Go the other way. Go the other way. All right. 8-0.
Okay, that's nice. A decentish start for a minute, too, to be up 8-0. So she is a takedown away, 2 points away from a technical fall. And
she has not given up a point this tournament, correct?
I was just going to double check that, but I'm pretty sure it was 10 or 11 of the whole way through.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to get there to confirm. Yeah, 10-0, 10-0, 11-0. Yeah, has not given up a point.
An interesting kind of thing with – I don't know how much you guys – oh, man, she's at 9-0. She's about to get this. Got her on the edge. This is too easy. Look at this.
Too easy. Yeah, she hasn't wrestled a full period of wrestling yet.
And she won't. There it is, 10-0.
That's it.
Junior world champ.
Boom.
Oh, my gosh. She's not she dominant. Oh, no, they didn't give it to her.
Oh. They didn't confirm that?
Oh, my gosh.
Are you not confirming anything?
So
there?
Bad.
That's grounded.
See?
That's shenanigans.
That's just shenanigans to the nth. Just drive. She's got this underhook again. Almost on the edge. She's just trying for this.
Come on. One more step. One more
step.
There
we go.
Boom. There you go.
Call that grounded, fools. Okay, there we go. 1-0. Now she's the champ. Holy cow.
So zero matches went into the second period for her.
Man. I want to see. Okay. I do want to see her against Kennedy. I think we know how. We've seen Kennedy versus Kylie. Now we need Kennedy versus Amita Laura. She's something else. That's a really impressive.
Well, they could show. All. Why don't they all go wrestle 72 at the seniors in 4 weeks or whatever?
I don't know.
That's a great idea, right?
It's one of your best ideas, Ben. other than the cold spray idea. So
that was your idea.
No, it's yours. You're gonna start doing it.
You can get a can of it on Amazon for less than $4.
Less than $4. Send
It'll
it to Ben.
Tuesday.
Ben, it'll be here Tuesday because Prime is That Prime subscription really helps get you things here quickly. Wait, just give us your address here over the radio. We'll
yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Okay. So while he's ordering cold spray, we can move on. Congrats.
Could Amit Alor make 65, maybe?
That's an interesting question. I don't know.
Only six more pounds?
She looks good size at 68. She's mm-hmm. very stout and strong looking.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Where do we want to go? What time is it? 9:30. We better get to some
questions. We don't have much time left. Yeah, we need to ask some questions.
Okay. Brad Medchill, which is a pretty cool name. Very chill, bro. Brad, are fans going to be able to attend? Yes, I do believe so. Fans will be able to attend the World Team Trials in Lincoln, Nebraska. It is at the not Bob Devaney Center. U.S. Cellular?
Pinnacle Bank.
Pinnacle Bank? What's U.S. Cellular? Is that even a place? Did I just make up an arena? It's possible. Doesn't matter.
I think so.
You can go.
I think so.
Please get tickets. Please go and yell and scream. Two amazing days of wrestling. And yeah, go ahead and go. Yes, Matt Lewis, Yanni has entered.
I like Ben Randolph's question.
Okay, ask it.
Yeah, he said if there's a long line of wrestling siblings coming with each sibling being better than the one before them, would you, as a coach, recruit the oldest, even if they weren't necessarily up to the caliber program, to help the odds of signing the younger siblings? And I want to say the answer, yes, I think people do that for sure. But it is kind of hard to see the future. And then especially sometimes younger siblings, they have the benefit of having their older siblings around, and they've probably been around it longer, and they're kind of getting a jump start on it. So I don't think there's always a guarantee that the younger ones are going to be better. It'd be interesting to see a stat on that. Sometimes they obviously are, sometimes they aren't. But yes, I'm sure that factors into the equation when you're assigning an eldest sibling to see that they have two or three more promising brothers coming along, because I think the chances that a brother follows a brother to a college program is, I don't want to say 100%, but it's probably likely, right?
Yes. It's pretty common. And yeah, I've had a coaches say, yeah, we're trying to get in on him because we want his brother later down the line. And, you know,
who was that?
You know him.
Well, that happens a lot. I don't know who you're talking about.
I know. I'm not gonna put the business in the streets, but I mean, not that it's a bad thing to do. It's smart. It's not like there's anything wrong with it, but you know. From Anthony Gomez, Joe Rogan and Lex Friedman discussed wrestling on JRE, talking about Gable's match and a couple other things.
I saw Joe Rogan Tuesday night. Yeah, okay. One of his shows.
Whoa! Oh, really?
Yeah, he made a Dan Gable joke, which I should not repeat on the air, but it was funny.
What was his Dan Gable joke? You gotta tell us. Just bleep it out. Just say something. Bleep,
I don't know. JD, if JD
is that
thinks
bad?
If JD thinks it's out of bounds, it's out of bounds. You know what? How
it's
about
not
this?
A curse word. It's yeah. I probably shouldn't say it. I'll tell you off air.
Yeah. I'm very curious to hear.
Okay. So, they like wrestling a lot. Lex Friedman, dude, he goes to one of the gyms here in Austin for jiu-jitsu, and our guy Hollywood Mike was rolling with Lex Friedman,
10th Planet,
the other day.
Right.
But which Olympian would I like to see most on JRE? Well, I think Joe would probably really enjoy the conversation with Kyle Dake talking about all his
getting younger
stuff. That stuff doesn't interest me as much, though. I'm not as interested in. I feel like that conversation would just go down this like scientific rabbit hole of like training and like stuff that it's cool stuff, but it's not what I want to hear. I like hearing wrestlers talk about wrestling and just like that kind of aspect of it.
But Joe's not deep enough into wrestling where he's going to be able to have like a really deep conversation on that.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, I do. I wonder. I think Gilman.
Be interesting.
Gilman's a good talker. Yeah,
I like listening to Gilman.
Well, I think the interview that we want to see is what the hell is Gable going to do? So if he interviews Gable went on his show and Gable was making an announcement about what his future was, and then Joe kind of like talked to him about all the possible paths and what he was thinking and was really able to, you know, not get one of these things like, I'm going to do this, and just kind of like really cursory answers, but like a really deep explanation. Because I'm sure it's a really hard decision for Gable. And like to actually have him open up about all the things he's thinking and all the possibilities would be totally fascinating.
Yes. So yeah, probably him. Boy, the Tamira one would be all over the place.
Oh, Tamira, yeah, let's get her on
there. That was on yesterday.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That would be fun.
No doubt.
She sang A Whole New World.
Obviously. Oh,
I saw it. I did not watch it.
I don't know if y'all heard how much she talks about karaoke, and she brought her karaoke machine, but at the party afterwards, the last night, they were doing karaoke then.
Love it.
They love karaoke.
Did they make you karaoke, Christian?
I was asked, but I declined.
Ooh.
I'm not doing karaoke. I don't know.
Hey,
only in Chattanooga.
Hey, the other question we got to ask here, the only is really Avery Lynch. I believe he's been asking this for a couple days right now. Is this the most likable Russian team ever? We know JD's going to say yes.
They are all lovable to JD.
I mean, it's the first. I don't think we've had access to other teams, so it's hard to say because, you know, this is the first one where they're like on social media. They all love Instagram. They love horses. You guys jack them up all the time.
They love horses.
You know,
he was showing me. Zamolov was bathing his horse in a river today. JD pulled it up. I promise. Go to his Instagram. Zamolov is washing a horse, lathered up, right there in the water. So I will say yes, just because they've had like a supervillain on every other team or many of their other teams, like, you know, Godoyev and
Sargus.
What do
you mean a supervillain?
They're villains.
Oh, those are not. Yeah, those are
these are just low.
Those are dirty wrestlers.
Yeah, I just don't like them. I just something about like Sagalayev is like, how do you? He's a tough guy not to like. And like, yeah, I read the interviews and I try to like understand their mindset. And like, I like his mindset. I think it's I think he's a great example and a good person and incredible wrestler.
I think Ugaev's kind of unlikable. I don't really like him.
It's just his face.
Oh, put that on the Russian news right there. Yes. Oh, Christian, geez. They're going to have a hit out for you.
I'll get disappeared. Listen, the things I've done, if there's not a hit out already, I feel like it's just not coming. You know, 26.
You said it's just his face.
Ugaev's also not as popular. Like, he doesn't post really on social media. Yeah.
He's just kind of a quieter guy. Him,
yeah.
I think he seems like a shy. I bet Ugaev is
he's
probably
a cute little guy, though.
He's shy. He's cute. JD, look, we've got Zamolov's horse washing. Look at this. We got the picture. Gosh. Look at the lather.
He actually has his horse in a river. That
yep,
is,
and a little pert plus amazing. On there.
Wow.
Getting ready to rinse it off. So I do find this team like, I don't really like Rashidov, but not for any real reason.
I don't like Rashidov either.
Yeah. there's no real reason. I just think everyone just worships him like he's on this certain level. And he's very good.
Wow. Hey, I just got a tech. Oh. Terry Love Steiner it. Says Amit Ilor is too young to wrestle in the senior trials.
So I had heard, I knew she was too young for Olympic trials by like hours. So I remember Valentine explaining to me like she can't go to Olympic, but I didn't think that was I didn't know that also extended to this as well.
It would be the same birth year though, because both happened in 2021.
Yeah, I suppose so. So she's just too
Does
young.
Does that
by,
mean she's younger than Kennedy and yes. Kylie, I guess.
She's younger.
Wow.
Probably like same year in school, but she's on the younger end or something like that, like born January 1. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's born on like one of those cutoff type of days, like before or after, I guess in January, not December.
Yeah.
Would probably be the most likely.
December 31. We got a couple of those. The twins who are freshmen, they were born on December 30 or 31, so they have to move up next year instead of be cadets again.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
You read Outliers about the like the hockey teams, right?
Unless they're 100 pounds, then it's fortunate.
Yeah, and in wrestling, I don't think that happens because, you know, everyone, you're not picking a team, right? You have a club, and they're all willing to participate, and you don't have to, you know. Well, I think picking people off the team at that young of an age is kind of stupid anyways, but yeah.
You know who else I didn't like on Russia was Boltikayev. Really didn't like
him. Oh, yeah, he was a villain.
No, Bolt's the man.
No, he's not.
He's fraudulent. A villain.
Fraudulent villain.
No, he's
villain.
The man.
He was wild against either Varner or Snyder at, I think it was Euregan, the Olympic
Fish
year.
Varner?
Varner would never. Don't you dare. Just because there's...
video evidence?
That you can doctor anything. No. Yeah, I don't like Bolt.
How you gonna hate a man that gets so tired he rests his head on an Olympic official's shoulder and then goes out and parties in those Genkas?
Did he?
He loves those Genkas.
After a great Olympic defeat?
I don't know about in Rio. I bet he was.
No. He ain't dancing after that carpet struggle. All right, next.
He's probably those Genkas the night before.
Okay, EJ Newton, I hope you're happy. We're trying to do better. When are you guys going to start interacting with people in the chat? Raider G, JD, seems like he would enjoy that. So we're doing it. We're going to try to keep doing it. And, yeah. Joel McKenna, not to be confused with Joey McKenna. Could any of you see Amos wrestling at Heavy next year, especially if Gable leaves? I don't think so, because they got this guy named Thor up in Madison, and he likes to wrestle heavyweight. He ain't going 97.
No.
Oh, yeah. Hilger's there.
He has 2 years left.
It's 2 years of the Trent train. I don't think so.
Well, he has 2 years of eligibility. Like, assuming he takes his this year, didn't use count towards eligibility year.
True that. And you know
what? Heard he's going to wrestle the last two. Is what I've heard. I've heard he's going to try to get his masters.
Dang, I would. You know,
Master of Thor.
We know, Master of Hammers.
Oh, yeah, so she's the opposite. Joe Caprino, you might have to hire him too, because he's got good information. He says she's born January 1st, 2004. So if she was born a day earlier, it would be December 31st. She'd be a 2003 birthday, which would make her. So she does. I guess you have to turn 18 in the year, I guess, to be eligible for the senior trials.
Yes. So if she was born, I remember Valentine Kalika, her coach, telling me. She's 3 hours too young too young or something like that.
Just they should have, our parents should have flown to Hawaii.
Dang it.
We could put it on Russian time.
Yeah.
Well, that would be the opposite.
Is there any?
We need to go the other way.
You need to go as far west as you can.
Is there any scenario where Russia doesn't like just finagle this birth certificate to get Emitalor in their?
Oh, they definitely do.
They probably just change it every other year. You know, keep her cadet eligible. Okay, now she's old enough to wrestle worlds. Aaron Swayze says, petition that it was a leap year. That'd be a spin zone. Okay, so why don't we go? Anything else before we go?
Sylvia definitely died in Sopranos. He never woke up from the coma.
Oh, yeah. Well, as someone asked about how Sopranos ended.
I don't know what that means.
I know.
You got to watch The Sopranos.
I've never watched it. Kylie Welker's going to be coming up, so you guys can flip over to Flow Wrestling to watch her.
Yes, which you are sort of on, unless you're on like Facebook or YouTube, in which case you're close. You're freaking close. Flowwrestling.org, and you'll see it. Junior
Hey,
World.
I'm on a family vacation next week.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, I gave you my email schedule 2 months
I know.
Ago. Sandy Point Disc Golf Ranch, baby.
Let's go.
My family to go to a disc golf ranch for the family
All right.
vacation.
Have fun, buddy. Poor kids. Poor Aussie man strong boy. All he wants to do is play with dump trucks, probably, but he's going to be on a disc golf course.
No, there's a beach there also. He'll be playing with sand all day long.
He'll probably be fighting sharks. He'll come up and he'll have his first caught fish with his bare hands. That'll be exciting. We'll have a good show tomorrow. Next week. Might have some special guest on there. I don't want to tease it. I'm going to tease it, but I'm not going to say who because it might not happen. There's no way to know for sure. There's literally no way to know. Have a great weekend. Go USA. Please watch Junior Worlds. Goodbye.